Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. New and improved, revamped. We're on video now. So if you're not watching on video and you want to watch on video, jump on over to YouTube. It's pretty boring right now. It's me and my current co-host, Miss Andrea DeLoach, and one of my assistants who, no, I'm sorry. That was disrespectful. You're
a part-time assistant.
And what's your official title?
Clinical director.
Yeah, the clinical director. So you'd be missing us. You'd have clinical director Andrea and myself on screen behind drywall. We're going to revamp our studio though, so it looks really good. So you may want to check out the video. But anyways, welcome back. Excited to have Andrea on here. For those of you that know, have been to courses or have been to our practice and are involved, you know that she kind of runs a lot of my life as it pertains to Sullivan Dental Partners in conjunction with Aubrey. And and on the clinical side of things, you really do kind of take on the bulk of the progression in our office is what you're kind of my right-hand person as it pertains to that stuff.
Lots of trainings and phone calls and
checklists. Andrea loves a good checklist. But the reason I have Andrea on today is we're going to talk about something that's a little, I guess it's kind of a common thing that needs to be discussed that's not discussed. And that's team member issues.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Team member issues and how you pertain to some of that stuff.
Team therapy.
Team therapy, if you will. All right. By the way, before we can jump into this, May 4th and 5th in Nashville, Tennessee, we have the Three Dentist Growth Summit. So if you have not thought about going or considering going, please check it out. We've got a few tickets left. Nashville, Tennessee, May 4th and 5th. Going to be a great time.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I'm excited.
I can't wait. Anyways, okay, so let's jump into this. So I kind of asked, I was like, what should we record on today? And you were like, well, I think we should talk about some of the team member issues that we have. Give me some examples of team member issues.
Well, I mean, I guess just like the overall work ethic we have now, what, how many people do we have now?
We have 20. More than most. We have 20, I think 24, 25 people.
But a year and a half ago,
we probably had like 17, 10. 18. And then before that, we had like probably 14. And then before that, like 10.
Yeah. But I guess regardless, there's still always
there's always team member issues.
There's always something. And so I think that a lot of it has been just kind of like, as of late, more of just like, hey, you know, when you're out of town, we come back and then like there's the rooms aren't stocked or whatever it is. And so then it becomes this like, you know, how do we have those like hard conversations? Like, hey,
how do you keep people accountable?
Well, right. Yeah. And so a lot of my way of doing that is like, okay, well, I guess we haven't set the expectation of what is necessary or what's needed. So my mind obviously goes to a list. Shocker. Of like, okay, so if it doesn't look like this, don't wrap it.
And my challenge with lists, though, is that like I'm all for the list, but are the lists getting you? Are we leveraging the lists? Like, do people use them?
The thing is that like for me, I feel like I can say, well, did you follow the list? It kind of gives me kind of a little bit of like some way of saying, well, it's very clearly stated here instead of it being like, well, you should just know.
Yeah.
Because like I think a lot of it, the struggle is that like people don't think the same. And so like, I even know we don't think the same. So you probably think I'm crazy half the time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
With my list, probably. Sometimes, yeah. So like,
it's probably a good thing though.
Just understanding that like everybody's different and like maybe some people don't need a list. And I hope that, you know, those people stay here.
Well, let me back up a little bit, back us up. So, you know, at face value, what I think is my dad always says this, right? And I think he got it from Linda Miles or somebody, but that every time you add a team member, it's not linear growth, but it's exponential. I mean, like the more headaches and the more drama and the more things that you bring in as it pertains to team members, as you grow, it's exponential. All that stuff becomes challenging. And so what we've seen is that we really have had to start to implement more procedural type things, even as silly as something like a handbook, because when we had 8 team members or 6 team members, I kind of knew what I was, what I was getting. Now, the other part of this that's a challenge though, is that like you can't plan for where you're at now. And it's way harder to unwind things or do them when it matters. I mean, like if you've got 4 team members right now, I would tell you, you should start building your operations manual.
Right.
versus waiting till like we did it, which was now we have all these problems internally that we're having to work through and we have no sort of like...
It's like, shoot, I guess we never thought that that would be a thing we would have to like...
I realize now why they put on like different warning labels on shit. Like, you know, it could be like rat poison, like don't feed to a child. Well, no shit. Yeah. But somebody tried to feed that.
Somebody wrote a letter.
Yeah, somebody wrote a letter. But that's how I feel as an owner now sometimes is I'm like, did we really have to tell them not to do that?
Well, and that's where I go with the list. I'm like, surely people would know in your what to do when you have nothing to do list. But there's, you know, maybe there's not. So having that like, you know, reference guide at least is great. So yeah.
Well, one of the first things we did was we have basically put together an operations manual. So we have like a handbook, but I like to call it an operations manual because it is fancier and it's more entailing of what all our daily operations are. Yeah. Give me some examples of things where you've kind of made not lists, but you've made instructional written guides out for different procedural things in our office.
That's kind of like one of my goals for 2023 is to have like, especially like how to be an assistant here.
At Sullivan and Partners, like the SDP way.
What to set up for an extraction bone graft, simple extraction. So then my brain starts to think, okay, well then we can have, you know, these little, you know, I love my little like PRF packs that people can just grab and go easy stuff.
I like that.
And
I like the cheat sheets or whatever.
You know, how can we, so then it's just like, maybe no one looks at it, but then if they don't, and then, you know, there's always that like, hey, okay, so maybe we need some coaching. You should probably check back on the, like you didn't have four of the things that we need in this simple procedure.
Well, and you know what I mean? Like, I would point out too, is that like, I think step one is on some level is the doctor has to get clarity on what it is they do, how they do it.
Yeah.
And if you've got multiple doctors, you've got to have an alignment of that. Mm-hmm. Like that's been a challenge we've had is you got to have the SDP way. And I'm saying you have to, I mean, I think my way is pretty good. So you can copy it, but you got to have the Andrea family dental practice way. You got to have the Sunshine State dental way, whatever your practice is, or you get what I'm saying, but you have to have set up that like, hey, the way we do crowns or fillings is we're going to use blue etch. We're going to use this restorative material in the posterior. We're going to use this restorative material in the anterior. And if we're cementing a crown, we're going to use this cement.
Well, and I know for a lot, like of how a lot of assistants that I know operate is like, we are like, oh, okay. So that like, kind of like paying attention to the process and knowing, you know, what comes next. And so I think that like when things go south or when things aren't set up properly or whatever, it's like a, oh, okay. So now I've got to set that out. But if there's a guide to me or like some sort of reference cheat sheet that like can just go ahead and, cause I guess it also comes from like, I feel I've been, you know, there's a new assistant. We've been training every, you know,
you're having people turn over, you're having growth, there's inevitably new people. And then you got to find a way to train them. And then it is kind of typically, it ends up being, I think in most offices, kind of the most tenured assistant or the lead assistant. Yeah. And it's you in this case, that's having to kind of train these people. So I get that it'd be nice to have that to reference.
I'm like, here's a reference guide.
Well, and I will say like, even like I to use an example of that, some I've seen this firsthand is like with these ExoCAD videos I've been doing, mm-hmm. like, which what I'm doing is I'm recording all these videos for educational purposes. But then we hire this lab tech and I just gave Misa all the videos and essentially he's taught himself based off the videos. And I've like not had to go waste my time or, you know, spend my time train normal stuff that I would have to train him hands on doing. So if I could delegate that out.
Cool. And it's just back to setting the like.
And you make some videos sometimes, like how to stand and glaze a crown. Do you have like video content?
Oh yeah. We've got some on Slack. It's not like, you know.
See, that would be something that would be like, I think where I would, yeah, but I think that's good advice is we've got a Sullivan Dental Partners YouTube.
Yeah.
We should record videos, mm-hmm. even if they're iPhone quality on how to do X, Y, or Z, and then have a more organized place to view those videos than just Slack.
Oh yeah. No, I've kind of thought about that too. And Aubrey and I have talked about potentially like figuring out, cause you know, it just gets lost in the shuffle and then you're like, you can't really even search a video. So that makes sense. Yeah, we should probably do that.
When would you, like, I hope what people hear on this too, is that like, And I, and obviously I, we, they just released one with Aubrey a couple episodes ago. And then this one is that a lot of the things that my team does, I don't even necessarily know about them or know the intentionality of all of them. And I guess what I'm getting at is like, at what point did we do something right or do something different that allowed you to kind of have this autonomy that you were going to be able to implement and do this type thing?
You know, it just came from a place where like, you know, as we were trying to grow this, trying to do all this, like things were, you were busier, like you were incorporating more stuff into your, you know, what you wanted to do and focus on. And it came down to like, how, okay, instead of me presenting you with an issue, why don't I present you with how to fix it? Like,
yeah, love that.
Cause it would either be something that you're like, yeah, we'll get to it. Or, and I'm like, well, okay, well, let me just go ahead and get my wheels turning so that way we can just like move past this. And if you say it sucks, then we just, you're like, rah, wrong. And then we try again. But like,
yeah, I'd much rather you come to me with solutions than come to me with problems.
Yeah. And I still come to some, with some problems every now and then, but we try to, I try to just, and so I think by you kind of allow, like, I don't know, giving me positive feedback and like us working with things, it became a little bit of an easier process. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, shoot, I'm just going to bring you solutions.
Or realize that like, if you don't take ownership and do it, it's not going to get done.
Well, that's not necessary. I mean, you know, what is that? We're calling that priority calibration.
Oh yeah. We went through a big phase of that.
We did.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, it was just kind of like things that I were was hearing, you know, from like the assistants, and they were worried about who knows what, probably, you know, curing lights. And I was like, we've got to buy more curing lights. And you're like, no, I'm going to get some curing lights. I'm like, curing lights aren't important to you, but I need you to, what are we doing?
Finally, yeah, I think
that's something basic. Like that's like a small, that just popped in my head.
Curing lights
right
are expensive.
Well, I know that, but like,
no, it was like I do remember like a lot of times early on in like your leadership, there was a lot of times where I was like, your priorities weren't in line with my priorities.
Yeah.
Like we had a little bit of like butting heads some days because I'd be like, hey, I need you to get this done. I don't really give a crap about.
Yeah.
More respectfully, but I probably didn't.
Well, I know that ultimately I'm trying to like figure out what, you know, is most important on days. And there are, remember, I'll be like, hey, what do you want for my priority to be today? And it'd be something random that's not even on my list half the time. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I think we're bad about that though, doctors, because I think we're bad about that. Not giving either enough back end like information about what it is we're trying to accomplish other than just go complete this task. And then we don't typically prioritize things well. And like, I see this in our, with our implant course a lot in that, you know, placing an implant involves so many parts and pieces.
Yeah.
And we really set up our team members for lack of success. So we just expect that they know, and then we get upset when they don't. Now, I feel like what I have, I can be fair in is that if I've made it clear what I need and you don't have it.
Well, right. And that's where I'm trying to like to scale back. Clarity on the front end is always the best, but you know, it is sometimes like hard and you're busy. You're like thinking about placing the implant or whatever it is that you're doing. And then I'm like, so tell me why. And you're like, well, and so like having the time to actually sit back and explain why, because.
Inevitably, you're going to get the question why from somebody else.
Well, right. And so I'm like, you know, what was it that time we were talking about something about the CEREC scan? And I was like, everyone's asking me why we're doing this software and this software when this one does both. And you're like, just because.
Do we scan in CEREC chair side or something?
And I was like, both of them do the same. And I was like, just so you're aware, you can't look up the patient in both and get the same result. So like, if you're like, okay, you know, and I was like, but it also your name's on the building. So if you want to say, do it this way, we kind of have to conform and I'll back you up. But like, I just want to know why.
Well, I don't find that reasoning or that logic goes very far with team members.
Well, that's good.
I mean, am I wrong?
No, but
I don't know. I think that like the more we can engage our people and the more we can give them the tools to be successful and a little bit of get out of the way.
Yeah.
The more successful I am and the more successful you are. Set you up for success.
Well, and like I feel good about being like, okay, so I can at least give you guys the why now because, or, you know. I can do a lot of the talking that you don't necessarily have time for if we can just have these like clarity conversations.
All right, let's talk about some other hard conversations that we're having to have. What are some hard ones you had to have lately?
You know, what did we say?
I got one today. Let me read this. Let me tell you how you respond to this. So this comes in from a caller. So Will from Idaho, that's not really who it is, but that sounded funny. He sends a message that says, I'm not sure how to handle this. Do I write at this assistant or fire her? She calls out a lot more than others, and she sent this text to another employee today. So this is the text that this employee sends to another employee. Yeah, I'm going to be out when I need to be or want to be. I ain't been out in months because we didn't have help. And we now have, we'll call this other person Charlie. So things going to be diff. I've been telling you to take off Mondays! Exclamation point.
Wow.
I mean.
So like the Wilf's employee. Charlie, who is this?
Charlie, the employee. I don't know exactly how the text got. Yeah. Basically, this employee showed this text to someone else. And then this person,
obviously,
I guess, brought
it's being
it to
talked about because everyone's like, okay, first of all, we're picking up your slack when you're not here for whatever reason. So, like, that creates animosity in itself. Like, so it kind of already sounds like Charlie's.
Yeah, I don't know. When I heard that, I was like, this is crazy. So how do you handle these situations, though? I think, you know, at face value, probably everybody's like, oh, fire them, you know, screw off, blah, 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 blah. And I look, a younger Sully owner in person texts back like, F you, you're out of here. Don't come back. I'll mail you your stuff. But here's what I've learned. One is that you have to, at some level, assess how replaceable is this person and does it compromise my business just to be like PC a buy? Like, do I have somebody that can step in that role? And then two, I think it's a matter of you've got to have a face-to-face conversation.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. The like, you know, are you good? What's going on? You seem off.
Yeah. And I like, obviously, I like, the problem I have here is this, how do you ever trust this person again? Right? Like, they've broken that circle of trust when they're telling you that they're going, they're home because their kid's sick. And now you're finding out that it's not. So I think inevitably this employee is probably going to have to be gone. But I do think you learn a lot in having conversations because it could be, and I know a little bit more backstory in this case, that this employee has been working their butt off because they haven't had help. And so there's probably this little bit of we finally have help. So like, I'm going to breathe a little bit. Obviously, the way that it's being sent is not appropriate. Encouraging other people to take off is not appropriate. And so it's a hard thing to deal with.
Well, and is there any, I don't know, in this office, is there any kind of like incentive to not just call out, like a bonus system or any kind of?
I don't know. I think that's one of the best things that our bonus system has done. And we'll probably talk about it in another episode. But we have a kind of a traditional bonus system that's a team. It's a team deal. Set off a BAM or a number that we have to hit. And then, but for us, I think what is important with our bonus, to your point, is that if you miss more than one day, correct?
Yeah, more than one. Yeah, so 2 days.
You get basically one sick day a month where you have something that came up. Otherwise, all your PTO has to be scheduled 30 days in advance.
Yeah.
So you get, if anything is basically thrown up on us or last minute, meaning less than 30 days, and it's more than a day, then you're out of the bonus.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, in that, you know, that makes everybody else work harder. They've got to cut, you know,
when people are
slack,
out. Yeah.
When people are out. So it kind of is just like, you know,
so
yeah,
I think
it's tough.
I think it's a great caveat if you got a bonus program to have, mm-hmm. is that because now what we see is people will only take off one day. I mean,
if that,
God forbid, you know, they're not going to be out of the bonus system. So
yeah,
if they can come back, they're coming back. Without missing one day. So I think that's been a good thing. But Will from Idaho, I think I would encourage you to have a conversation in person,
definitely.
And just be super short, frank, to the point. What I would look for is apology, Adeline, I'm sorry. And then it would be somewhat of a short leash because I would just be open with them that the trust tree has been broken. And I would probably get an ad out and start looking anyways.
Yeah.
And if I had the other part of this is if I had the if I, like in our position where we've got a lot of assistants, if some one of our assistants did that, I would be pretty much like, you're done, because I want to set a precedent with the rest of the team.
Yeah, but you also, I think it's always worth a conversation.
I agree. Unfortunately, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I don't want to do that, but I agree that it's probably worth it.
It's always worth a conversation, because you just don't know where people are coming from. And honestly, like, you know, I feel like we try to also like cultivate this culture, and like we try to.
Well, that culture got violated by.
Well, yes, of course, but.
All right, what else? Give me some other scenarios.
I mean, I don't know, just like clocking in for breakfast or.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I don't know. I mean, here's the challenge we have. We all deal with this. We deal with them clocking in too early, not clocking out for lunch, not clocking out late. We deal with, do we pay them on days that we do CE?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Do we, like, these are the, like, do you pay them for travel? Do you pay them for meals? Like, these are the questions that I get that are circulated all the time. I would say for the most part, our stance on all of that has been, the longer you're here, the more we trust you, the more you push yourself on the line for us, then the more we're willing to not let things slide, but just not be so rigid.
Well, and I think it goes back to having like set expectations in like a handbook or something like that.
Like I would never, don't get any ideas, but like I would never even consider checking like you or Celeste's time clock. Like I don't even look at them.
Yeah, well, that's because, I mean, I would take myself out of the bonus if I did something.
Yeah, which is a crazy thing. Like I've gotten texts before from you or Celeste, my other assistant, who they've literally said like they'd messed something up. Like case didn't come in. Like it's going to cost me money.
Yeah.
And they're like, and just take me out of the bonus. And I'm like, I'm not taking you and freaking out of the bonus, but on some level, and y'all probably know that a little bit, but still to me, it's the point of being like that their wherewithal is large enough that they understand the cost, and therefore I'm willing to give the grace that goes with it. Now, new team members aren't typically going to get as much of that. And you got to earn your stripes with me a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's part of it for both of us.
But I think in general, though, you still have to have some sort of baseline.
Yeah, so as far as the baselines go, here's my stance on this, to get to the, down to brass tacks. I believe that you should, if it's a work day, meaning that employee would have been working otherwise, then if you take them to a CE event or you're doing something and it's a work day, they should be paid. If it's not a work day, and you're paying for the CE, and I think we should most likely pay for the CE in the situation too. Mm-hmm. If it's not a work day, then you get the CE paid free and the travel paid free, but you don't get paid for
the day. Yeah.
Is that how we do it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's how we do it.
Yeah.
So if there's a course that's on a Friday, Saturday, an employee normally works Friday, they would be paid Friday, but they wouldn't be paid Saturday.
Right.
But they get, in our case, that course free and any travel associated with it.
Yeah.
That would be free.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, and now people are going to be like, that's double, they feel like they're getting double dipped, or some people may say that you should pay on the weekend too. That's just kind of the stance that we've said is like, hey, if you're missing days that you would have been working, you get them paid. Otherwise, you're getting the CE for free. And that's the case. Now that's kind of your basic meeting type CE, like the 3D tennis practice growth summit or something like that. Yeah. Now, if it's like, hey, I'm getting my EFTA. Then we may have typically what I like to do in those situations is a payback deal, to where like we'll pay for it, but then you've got to give me back, you know, 12 months of work. And if you leave during that 12 months, we're going to take out, you know, part of that or some of that out of your last paycheck.
Yeah.
That fair?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah, I think so. But once again, setting that expectation on the front end, because it never fails before, you know, a weekend CE or something, the chatter starts happening or throughout the office and everyone's like, so do we get paid for this or not get paid for this?
Oh my gosh, it's so annoying.
And it's like, you know.
Now, and that's what I'll say. Like what I feel like we've done well about is now we have this operations manual, like that shit's in there.
Yeah.
So meaning like, sometimes Aubrey will text me and say, hey, what about, I'll just use one of late. Aubrey texts me and she goes, what about so-and-so wants to know, and the way our policy works is you can't like take a half day off. So if you miss, you can come in late, like 9 or leave
like
early.
9:30 or 2:30.
And that's for if you had to squeeze in an appointment, like for whatever it is, like, and you couldn't get that appointment on your day off, like those, you could make your appointment, still come in at that time for the rest of the day, and it wouldn't cost you as far as the bonus goes. Well, someone was taking basically 2 half days, and they wanted them to, and so they would essentially be losing 2 days because they were violating the half day rule, or the after 2:30 or before 9:30 or whatever. And so I said, well, what's the manual say? And Aubrey's like, well, this is what it says. I said, perfect. Like, now we have something to point to where I'm not making biased decisions based off whether it was you or Celeste or someone else downstairs. Yeah. And so to me, that's really important. And so it's not like the HR side that is important about a handbook. That's why I don't like it as much, that word. But it's more of the operational side of, this is the way we operate.
Yeah.
These are the things we do and how we do them and the expectations and rules to follow. And then over time, we make addendums to that.
Right. Well, and that's what I was going to say is, like, you know, for people that are maybe starting out with their, you know, operations manual, like, done is better than perfect, because it's not going to be perfect.
Yes.
So just get it done. And then if you have to make revisions or whatever, you know, kind of do it as...
I'm trying to think of some revisions that just got made last time. There were some, like, warning labels. I don't even know how I feel comfortable sharing some of the warning labels.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, they're so dumb. I'm like, you shouldn't do that shit.
Yeah, but...
pull me under.
They just don't.
Now people want to know, but I can't tell you. Puts me at risk.
Yeah.
But yeah, stuff that is obviously no-brainers that you shouldn't do, that then we have to reprimand in a way that we don't have a rule for it, but now we have to have a rule for it.
Yeah.
So
once again, clarity.
At the end of the day, wrapping up, I think that's what's important to me is that doctors, if you want to have team members take on more stuff, if you want them to delegate and you want to be able to delegate and have that kind of relationship where they can just bring you solutions and get stuff done, then you got to get clarity on what it is you're trying to accomplish. And you got to get clarity on how you want to do things, and you got to get clarity on the materials which you have. It's probably a whole nother conversation about inventory.
Oh, yeah.
But like, your inventory budget will get better if you'll just get clear on what you want. And then you put people in charge to make sure that everyone's doing it in that way, so that you're not having these random products come in and out. And then second of all, I think that what I'm finding more and more and more, that as silly as something like that operations manual is, having something to go back to and understanding that it doesn't have to be perfect, that it's going to be added to an addendum, I think has made it way easier for me as a leader to not feel like I'm having to be good cop, bad cop all the time. That that they can go look up their fate, because their fate's already outlined.
Well, and there's always those, you know, stories that you're like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I know that stinks that you have X, Y, and Z happening.
You have a baby.
Right.
That gets sick and has to leave school, and you have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it does stink, but it's just life's.
Well, thanks, Andrea,
for coming
on the show. Yeah, we'll have you back on more. You know, it's good. As long as you bring good content, people like this episode. If the episode fails,
it sucks,
then we probably won't ever have you back on.
Stick with my solutions and my lists.
Otherwise, work smarter, not harder. We will see you next time. And hey, leave some reviews on iTunes for us. We're trying to get those up. And if you want to send in some calls or some texts, like Bob from Idaho or Will from Idaho, then please send those on. We'll deal with your issues live on air.
And look for that Growth Summit promo video.
Oh, there's a promo video coming out. If you haven't seen it, it's me on Broadway. Go check it out. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.